Jonah chapter 3, verse 1. And there is a word of Jehovah unto Jonah a second time, saying, now the Lord is going to command Jonah again to do what he says. 2. Rise, go unto Nineveh, the great city, and proclaim unto it the proclamation that I am speaking unto thee. For the second time, God has commanded Jonah to go to Nineveh and preach repentance. 3. And Jonah riseth, and he goeth unto Nineveh, according to the word of Jehovah. And Nineveh hath been a great city before God, a journey of 3 days. If Jonah had left from Israel to Nineveh as he was commanded, it would have taken him about 40 days to get there, maybe less. But because he tried to run, he went out to sea, then he went to the bottom of the ocean, then the fish took him back up to the shore near Israel. But when the fish spit him out, some of that time was recovered because the fish spit him out further north, most likely. The fish would have spit him out from the shortest distance that he could travel to Nineveh, and that way he could walk a shorter distance to get to Nineveh. So probably he ended up arriving in Nineveh at the same time that he would have arrived in Nineveh had he obeyed the Lord's command. So this is another miracle in the book of Jonah. The Lord made sure that no time was lost, even though Jonah deliberately tried to delay the whole process or even completely foil the whole process of the Ninevites hearing the message from God. This verse tells us that in order to go from one part of Nineveh to the other, it would take you a 3 days walk, which means it was a massive city. It was probably 36 miles long. Because that's about a 3 days journey if you're walking 12 miles a day. 4. And Jonah beginneth to go into the city a journey of 1 day, and proclaimeth and saith, yet 40 days, and Nineveh is overturned. This is a very simple message. In 40 days, Nineveh will be destroyed. He doesn't say that they need to repent. He doesn't say the message is from God. He doesn't say that he's an Israelite. He doesn't tell them any of God's commandments. One way of looking at it is that because Jonah didn't want them to be forgiven, he gave them as little information as he could possibly get away with, hoping that they would not understand the message and that they would not repent because they wouldn't understand what he was talking about. And this may be true because he waited a full day's journey into the town before he started proclaiming this message, which meant that he had passed about 12 miles of people that he never told to repent. However, you could read this another way, that Jonah knew that these people are going to miraculously get saved because Jonah had just been miraculously saved, and Jonah knew that there was nothing he could do to prevent these people from hearing the gospel. So he might as well get close to the center of town first, and then start proclaiming, knowing that the gossip chain will spread the message like wildfire all throughout the town. And he also may have known that he didn't have to say much for these people to repent. They had never heard the gospel. The Lord had never sent them a message. And Jonah must have known that he was going in tremendous power from God because of all that he had been through to get there in the first place. It could be both ways of looking at this are correct, that Jonah deliberately made the message as difficult as he possibly could because he really did not want them to understand the message and repent. But at the same time, he may have also known that no matter what he did, God was going to miraculously open their eyes and open their ears and cause them to understand so that they would repent. 5. And the men of Nineveh believe in God, and proclaim a fast, and put on sackcloth, from their greatest even unto their least. When the people heard Jonah's message, they instantly understood what it meant. They knew that the one true God was going to destroy their city in 40 days if they did not repent. Now you remember from reading Exodus and other books in the Bible that the number 40 always means a time of testing. The Lord was going to test them for 40 days to see if they would repent in that amount of time. And if they wouldn't, they would be destroyed. The Lord gave Nineveh 40 days, just as he gave the Israelites 40 years in the desert. Jesus himself was tempted for 40 days before his ministry began on earth. And Moses lived in the desert for 40 years before he was sent to go speak to Pharaoh. So 40 ois means a time of testing. And the Lord was definitely testing the Ninevites during this time to see if they would listen to him or not. Now the general population is listening, and they are falling on their faces and crying out, begging the Lord to forgive them. They are fasting and putting on uncomfortable sackcloth to show how sorry they are for their sins. 6. Seeing the word doth come unto the king of Nineveh, and he riseth from his throne, and removeth his honorable robe from off him, and spreadeth out sackcloth, and sitteth on the ashes. Even though Jonah didn't go to the king, by word of mouth, the message spread to the king, and when he heard it, he repented too. He took off his kingly robes, and he also put on sackcloth and sat down on ashes, which is also a sign of mourning and repentance. And the king fasted and begged God to forgive him. 7. And he crieth and saith in Nineveh, by a decree of the king and his great ones, saying, man and beast, herd and flock, let them not taste anything, let them not feed, even water let them not drink. The king has now proclaimed a fast in all of Nineveh, including the animals. The cows aren't going to get straw to eat, and the chickens aren't going to get corn or seeds. None of the animals are going to be fed, because the entire town is going to repent so that they can be forgiven. Now you might say, why do animals have to repent? They don't from a spiritual perspective, because they don't have spirits and they don't even know what sin is. But for the sake of their own lives, the king had them fast as well. Whenever God destroys a town, he always destroys all the animals in it too. Now the animals will go to heaven, but they won't be there anymore to be used by people. The king wanted not only his people saved, but also his domestic animals saved as well, so that the people would have food to eat and animals to use for labor. And the animals did get a blessing by fasting, because their owners and their own lives were saved. 8. And cover themselves with sackcloth, let man and beast, and let them call unto God mightily, and let them turn back each from his evil way, and from the violence that is in their hands. And the king is even telling the animals to pray to God, which isn't completely against the Bible, because we read in Psalm that the birds cry out to God for their food. The animals were also praying, crying out to God for their food, which they would naturally do if they weren't getting any. They also put sackcloth on the animals as well, which is kind of like burlap or something very uncomfortable to wear. Another reason that the animals may have been drawn into this is because the Ninevites were pagans, which meant that they committed perverse sexual acts with animals. So the animals may have needed a cleansing or a restitution as well. Even though they don't have spirits and they can't control what people do to them, so it's not their fault when people abuse them, they still may have needed a type of cleansing or forgiveness, because God is a holy God, and his holiness is so pure that it will kill us. And that's why we need spiritual cleansing. We just have to respect who God is. He's holy, and he's not going to stop being holy for our convenience. He has to purify us in order for us to receive eternal life. Another reason why the king may have commanded that the animals fast could be simply because he didn't know any better. As a pagan, he didn't know God's laws or God's ordinances. In his ignorance, he was just trying to make things right with God the best way that he could figure out. After all, Jonah didn't give him any clues about what God really wanted. So the king went all out and had even the animals fast, not knowing that God's law doesn't require animals to fast. 9. Who knoweth? He doth turn back, and God hath repented, and hath turned back from the heat of his anger, and we do not perish. The king is saying, I want everybody to fast. I even want the animals to fast. Maybe God will forgive us and not punish us in 40 days. We deserve punishment, but we're hoping that he will relent and not punish us. 10. And God seeth their works, that they have turned back from their evil way, and he repenteth of the evil that he spake of doing to them, and he hath not done it. The Lord saw their works. Now what were their works? It was repentance. You know, there's people today who teach that obeying God's commands is works salvation. And here we can see in this verse that because of their works of obeying his commands and repenting from their sin, they received salvation. The New Testament talks about works salvation, but that is when we follow ordinances without obeying the commandments of God, and when we believe that the ordinances will save us. And when we get to the New Testament, you'll see how that's clearly explained, that works salvation, which is a false theology, is when you practice ordinances in order to be saved. It is not when you obey the commandments of God. In both the Old and the New Testament, we are commanded to obey God. It's part of salvation that we obey him and repent from our sins. But today there's a false theology telling people that, oh, if you tell anybody they need to repent, then you're telling them to practice work salvation. And nothing could be further from the truth. Today, the very people that claim that those who repent are practicing work salvation, those are the people practicing work salvation because they're trying to get saved through ordinances. They believe that if they go to church and call Jesus Lord, that they're saved. And those are ordinances, not obeying his commands. They're living lives of sin and they won't repent, but they believe by following church ordinances and church rules and religious rules that they will be saved. So they're the ones that are actually practicing works salvation. There's two different kinds of works. They're the works of Jesus Christ in us, which cause us to repent, which James talked about in the New Testament. And there's also works salvation, which is a false doctrine where we only practice ordinances, but we never repent. And that's what Paul talked about in the New Testament. So when Paul talked about works, he was talking about a false theology. But when James talked about works, he was talking about the true theology, which is that we must repent and we must obey God. And that's why James said, faith without works is no faith at all. So if we claim that we believe in Jesus, but we won't follow what he said and repent, then we don't really have any faith in Jesus at all. Not really. Because if you don't believe what Jesus said, you don't believe in Jesus. It's kind of like if I tell you my life story and you think that it's all a lie, how can you call yourself my friend? You know what I mean? If we don't believe what Jesus said, how could we possibly think that we are his friend? Yet there are so many Christians today who don't believe what he said. And he said that hell is forever and that those who refuse to repent will go to hell forever. We must believe what he said if we want to be saved. Earlier in the chapter, Jonah's literal words to Nineveh were that in 40 days Nineveh would be overturned. There's a double meaning there. It could mean that in 40 days Nineveh will be destroyed, but it could also mean that in 40 days Nineveh will repent. And Jonah knew all along that Nineveh was going to repent, and that isn't what Jonah wanted. Within less than 40 days, they all repented of their sins. And that concludes Jonah chapter 3.